It's episode 47 of the infamous podcast, Extra Features.
Hey, we're on the drive to 50, Kevin.
You're on the drive to 50. That's right.
And we're going to have
50 podcasts. Cake for the three cakes.
I will buy a cake.
Podcast 50, man.
You know what, intern? If you haven't watched all the movies, you're not getting cake on Podcast 50.
No, that's fine. I don't need cake anymore.
Well, it looks like you.
Don't let him eat cake.
He loves cake. He loves cake. Okay.
So what's new, guys? What's happening? I'm Kevin, by the way.
I'm Simon. What's new? I don't know. My other daughter's turning one.
Yeah.
And I've actually discovered I can't keep up to my old pace of movie watching.
Ooh.
Because I discovered there's such a show as Supernatural.
You're like 80 movies ahead of the rest of us, so you're okay.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Who let me watch Mad Men?
Was that me?
I can't stop.
It's awesome.
It is so good.
Mad Men is awesome.
I've seen
Glee's already over and done.
No, I've actually watched my movies, my episodes, so I didn't need to watch it five times. But I probably should have.
In between viewings of.
Oh, I have a question for you guys. Have you watched the preview for Sucker Punch? Anybody?
Yeah, I did. I saw it. It looks okay.
I've seen just bits and pieces. I've tried really hard to avoid it because I don't like Zack's movies normally.
You don't like Zack Snyder's movies?
I don't like the green screen the whole time. It drives me nuts.
Oh, I liked a lot of his movies.
I didn't like 300. I didn't really like Watchmen.
Oh, I love 300. Watchmen I liked.
See, again, that's one or two I know he's done. If he's done other stuff, I have
Dawn of the Dead?
I've never seen it.
The remake? You never saw it?
I've never seen it.
Wow.
Nobody's put it on the list. Maybe watch it. But I did watch Kick-Ass.
Right. Which is on this episode.
Great. Can we start?
Well, it's not the first movie on the list,
oh,
though.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry.
We have to follow the list.
Oh, wow. Something new that I saw.
The list is king. Yes, shockingly, we have a movie that is now in the theaters on the list because somehow, some way, we all managed to watch the Mind F movie of Mind F movies. Inception, directed by Christopher Nolan, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Ellen Page, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
The man, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Ken Watanabe.
Who can't speak English.
Tom Hardy.
Never heard of him. He's only in a couple movies.
Marion Cotillard.
Fantastic.
Tom Berenger.
Holy shit, that's Tom
Gotten
Berenger.
Old,
where
yeah.
Find him?
Michael Caine.
Oh, look, he's getting an award.
Cillian Murphy.
Love him.
Lucas Haas.
I don't know who he was in the movie.
He was the young guy that betrayed them at the beginning. That got thrown off the building.
Oh, is that him? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He was from Mars Attacks and
yeah, I know
Butch
who he
Atlanta.
Is.
Did you ever see Star Trek Nemesis?
Yeah, he plays. Yeah, he plays the other
he's,
guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's
he
the
plays Picard, bald Picard guy.
He's the English dude in Inception. Yeah.
I know who he is in the movie. I just.
And Pete Postlethwaite. You know what? It's interesting, though, that I kept thinking, who is this guy? I have seen this guy before.
Hey, he
and he was
mustache.
Shins on.
It was the
but
funky
I was
mustache.
Was so many
Bob thought he was Dolph Lundgren.
All right, who wants to start?
Bob?
Okay, I'll start. Inception. Loved it. When I saw it in the theater, I had to go to the third row in the front. So I'm sitting there in the theater going, I'm sitting waiting
for the
sleets. The sleets? Bob, is your mic actually on, or are you just talking?
How about
pissed.
This? Does this work?
No, that doesn't work. Yeah, a little bit. My mic's working. Here. Give me your mic. I'll give you mine. Sorry. People are going to hate this, but here you go.
That's the sound of my couch disintegrating under Bob.
My mic is not working. Well, it's now working.
Okay, well, say something.
Okay, Inception. Loved it, even though I saw the theater I saw it in, it was crowded, so I was third row from the front, and I was sitting way back. But the action in it, whoa, I can't believe this movie. It was so good. It's possibly one of my favorite movies this year. I'd say possibly top 10.
Possibly?
Pop?
Okay.
Testing. Okay.
Hold on. Let me check your mic. See, your mic is popped. I don't let you into it. It was working fine. I was like, yeah, this one's fairly quick.
I didn't do a thing to it.
There's another one in here.
All right. Can you hear me now? Okay. Where are we going? Still.
You're in the freaking third row, and oh my God, the action was amazing.
The action was amazing. Because I was in the third row, I had to look at it, and everything was just right up there. But this movie was fantastic. I loved it. Next.
That's it?
What do you want from me?
I don't know. Discuss some layers of the movie.
What the hell was this movie about?
Okay, what was it about? It was about 2 hours. No,
I'm just sitting back.
It's the ultimate mind game because they're going in deeper into the mind, trying to set up a suggestion. It's like what would you say? Someone tells you to do something. Someone says, okay, don't think of gas. What do you think of? You think of gas.
What the hell are you talking about?
I don't know. You told me to. Okay. Anyway, he sets up something in somebody's mind, and they go in, and it's.
Listen, you screwed up your mic. Now I'm going to take my mic back because I don't know what the hell are you talking about. It smells like gas. The movie has three levels of dreams. They have to figure out how to get Cillian Murphy's character an idea. The inception, the whole point of the movie. It gives you the breakdown at the beginning.
They have to plant the idea in his brain.
No, you didn't.
Yes.
Here, take your crappy mic back. It doesn't work anyway. I don't know what you did.
Fine.
You notice I was totally crunching stuff on the mic?
Yeah.
I hope that recorded.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, I mean, the whole point is they need an architect. They need that one page to make a story.
Right in the future, and in the near future, there's technology that will be able to go into someone else's dreams. While you're in that other person's dreams, you can try to steal their secrets, their business secrets, or whatever the case is, or you can try to plant, which is an idea that has not actually been proven as successful, to plant an idea into someone's subconscious to the point where they will act, and they will act on that in real life. So Leonardo DiCaprio, at one point we learned, was in the dream state with his wife. And he implanted an idea into his wife's mind, which led her to question reality. So that when she actually returned to reality, she killed herself, thinking that killing herself would bring her to the correct reality.
Bizarre.
Right.
That was intense, that whole sequence, mm-hmm. I thought, when she's like, you're not real, I'm not real, I'm going to throw myself out this window.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just bizarre to me,
yeah.
The whole sequence.
So he wants to – the problem is, of course, that she is part of his subconscious. So when he goes into anyone else's dreams, the wife emerges and sabotages what they're doing.
Exactly. You're right. I totally agree with you.
So they get hired to do this big thing where they have to plant in Cillian Murphy's head – an idea.
Okay, can I back up a bit?
Yes.
I just want to discuss one part. When they're in that dream sequence and they discuss how the subconscious comes after you.
Yes.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
And how he is her ultimate subconscious, I guess, because she's in there.
Yeah.
And she screws everything up. So if she comes, but I like how it's just like.
She's almost like his conscience.
Yes.
Betrays him.
Yes, but I like how they come after you and they start figuring out the subconscious, you're not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And they come.
As an architect who's in there, when you change too much in the dream state, because Ellen Page is an architect who gets brought in, she starts really messing with the reality of DiCaprio's dreams. And when she starts to do that, the people that populate the dream, and they're populated by DiCaprio from memories or from things you've seen,
yes.
They start to react hostily against
I
the person changing
so cool.
The dream. Yeah, and the only way to exit a dream, of course, is to wake up. Or to be jolted out of the dream by dying in the dream.
That was, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
The way they shot
Interesting.
It. And I like how they shot the dream sequences different than the reality sequence.
Did they?
I think they did in the beginning. I think they did. Not in the end. Not when they hit.
I thought the last sequences they were all shot pretty much the same.
That's what I mean. What I'm saying is when they first had Ellen Page and the Ark Attack and they meet her, I think they were shot differently than they are later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that it's very shot like everything's happy, everything's working, everything's going.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get to the dream sequence, it goes mm-hmm. a little awry. That's shooting. He changes it a bit, I think.
Right. So the ultimate mind F, of course, is that when he plants this idea into Sylvie, they have to do it three layers down into the dream.
Yes.
And the further you go into the dreamscape, the longer the time lasts.
Yes.
So you could potentially be down in the dream for up to 10 years.
Yes.
In your own head. Really, it's just seconds.
Yes.
Or minutes.
Yes, I'm with you.
So there's one level where they're in a New York City or Los Angeles or something like that, and they have to protect him from bodyguards, and then that prevent, you know, they convince Cillian Murphy in the dream that they're not in a dream, but they should
yes.
go into a dream.
Yes.
Which they go into a dream, and while they're in the dream, they go even further into another dream.
Yes.
And it's just down the rabbit hole. And
they couldn't
fantastic. And you know, different, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt's job is to bring them out of the first dream.
Yes.
Or sorry, the second dream. The Indian fellow
is the first,
the first dream where he crashes.
And
the
then
car
Ellen Page is the third dream?
No, the other English guy, the Shinzen.
Tom
Hardy. He's in the
third one, take
yeah,
him out of?
He's supposed to paddle Cillian Murphy alive.
Yeah, I
on the snow plant, on the snow dream.
Yes, yes, the snow dream. I know what you're talking right. about.
Yeah, so, and then as the world of the final dream is falling apart,
yes.
Ellen Page and so forth, they jump out the window and
yes.
die. Yeah.
But let's back this up.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt doing that weird part in the second screen, doing fighting the guy.
Where gravity is gone.
Gravity is gone. What a wicked scene.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt kicks ass in this movie.
And
he
I've
is
been,
great.
I've been saying how good he is for years.
Well,
nobody
was,
listens to me.
He was. I completely agreed in 500 Days of Summer. He was great.
And Look Out. You guys haven't seen Look Out yet.
No, I haven't seen
and
Look
I
Out.
Love Look Out, and he's in that too.
She was great in this movie too. All right. Bob okay. has a question about Ellen Page.
Well, yeah, because she plays the... Okay, normally she plays the same type of character. Smart people. Juno.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one, and I can't remember it. But three movies in a row, she played the smart...
Smart people?
Smart... Huh? No, I said smart
she
people.
She was in Smart People, right?
Yeah, she was.
Oh, okay.
I said Juno. I said Smart People. There was another
okay.
one.
Okay.
Anyway, she's playing the same character.
X-Men 3.
This one... She's not... You whip it. Okay, she's playing sort of a smart alecky character in Whip It, too. Okay, this one, she is so good. She's not playing the same character.
Why didn't you say this earlier?
What? When you had an opportunity to speak about the movie before...
You didn't, and that's why I'm asking you. Why didn't you say this stuff earlier?
We have to really draw the intern out. He takes a while, he just...
For, well,
I saw it. And
the
it was
reason
good.
Was because you were talking. Okay, you were going into individual people. You were talking about Joseph Gordon-Levitt, so I'm giving you Ellen Page. What more do you want? You were talking about John Tom. Hardy.
I liked
you were
Ken Watanabe about, in
know.
It. He was good. And the interesting part of the dream being revisited when DiCaprio sees him on the shores again at the end of the film. All right, McGregor is for what he's done. The authorities blame him for the death of his wife.
They do. I agree.
And they've taken his kids away. They're with his parents. Michael Caine is his father. And his mother is raising his son and daughter.
Is it his mother?
Yeah. I think it's his mother.
Okay, because it's not really shown at any time.
No, we never so we hear her, though.
And we do.
So, and he's trying to remember his children. He can never see their faces.
Yeah, that's. Are we getting to this point now?
Right. So at the very end.
This is what I want to discuss.
There's a trick that there's a little top, a spinning top, that is the tell, that if the top is spinning, then he's in a dream. And he spins the top at the very end, and it's spinning. To suggest that perhaps what he's perceiving as reality, the thing that they've succeeded, was not that it was a dream.
Well, that's what I want to know. But my question is, I get that. But the whole question is the kid question. They're wearing the same clothes to me.
What do you mean?
At the end of the movie, they're wearing exactly the same clothes they were in, when he sees them in the dream.
Okay.
How do I?
But he sees their faces.
That's my thing. So is he finally there? But they don't look any older.
No, the question is, how long was he away? I don't know how long away he was with his wife and kid. Like, how long ago did his wife die? Was it months?
Well, that's what
was
I
it
have
years?
I have a lot of problems with that.
And when he spoke to those kids on the phone, in the early part of the phone, they certainly sounded a lot older.
Yes.
Than
so,
these babies.
So
that
did he leave the dream, or is he still in limbo? And this is his dream.
That's what you're supposed to wonder.
And
we'll
I've been
never
discussing
know.
This with everybody. I want to know. I want to know people's opinion. Is he in or out? I say he's out. Because just with the way the whole scene set up, Ken Watanabe picks up the phone. Mm-hmm. We dwell on the passport scene.
Right.
Because I think if he was still in the dream, he would never have made it through. But because I think he has to get out, and we want him to be redeemed because he solved his mall problem.
Mm-hmm.
He's dealt with the Marion Cotillard. He's dealt with his subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And he's finally free of everything, and he wants
to. I would like to think that.
Well, that's what I think.
This is the case.
I would like
but
to. I think we like Leo.
The thing is at the end, when the top falters a little bit,
yes.
Is it going to stop? Or
yeah,
does it keep
going? I know, and we're never going to know.
No, I mean, there's a great internet movie, which is basically it's going, and then it stops. And then it gets up and it starts up again.
Oh, no way.
And it's like, yeah, just what you thought.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I would like to think that the top stops right at the camera ending. But that's the mind half of the
yeah,
movie,
I agree
right?
with
it's
you.
To make you wonder what happened.
Now I'm starting to wonder that myself because I thought when the top kept spinning, maybe I'll miss something. But when it kept spinning, that means he's out of the dream. So that's what I thought.
No, the top can't spin indefinitely, right? So, yeah, I got the impression that he was trying to imply that perhaps this was still the dream. So I don't know. Anyway, I loved it. I thought it was a great movie.
I really loved it, too.
My mother's comment, too many bullets, too many gunfights.
But it was. I thought it was a really good movie as well. Like from what I saw, I loved it.
Great. Well, good stuff. So, three thumbs up.
Definitely, definitely a thumbs up here.
Yeah, I agree. I think
it's
a thumbs up.
Does that one work? No.
Yeah, I think our other mic went, guys. I've tried everything to get
to
work. So
third mic
I can't. I was working earlier tonight. I think it just conked out. I have no clue why. I've even tried it at a different hole.
Cool.
Let's
move on to the next movie on our list, and that's Chloe, directed by Adam Egoyan, starring Liam Neeson, Amanda Seyfried, Julianne Moore, R.H. Thompson, Nina Dobrev. Now, I'll start and just give a little synopsis. Julianne Moore encounters Amanda Seyfried in the washroom of a restaurant, and she knows that Amanda is a call girl. Now, Amanda tries to give her something which she won't take. And then later on, they encounter her again, and Julianne Moore decides to hire Amanda to try to connect with her husband to see if Liam Neeson will fall for her, because she believes that Liam is a womanizer and a skirt chaser and is screwing all sorts of different women. So she wants to find a way to test his infidelity. And they have a son who's a teenager, who has a girlfriend who stays over, and Julianne Moore is basically feeling pretty powerless with the relationships that she has with her husband and her son. And she finds, as Chloe, the prostitute, shares the stories of what she does with Liam Neeson, she starts to connect with her husband. Right? But there's a twist. Right. Now, Toronto is a character in this film. Very much so. Yeah, I mean, they go to the Cafe Diplomatico on College West. They visit a number of different sites, like the Art Gallery.
There's a lot of it filmed in Yorkville because I recognize the area in the movie.
I think they live near Yorkville, is the implication.
Yeah.
Which
her office is in Yorkville.
Egoyan lives in that area as well. So, you know, he knows it very well. Anyway, so what did you think of this movie, Simon?
Sorry, guys. I thought it was really boring. Yeah. I tried hard to like this movie. Tried hard. I thought this was a big Amanda Seyfried project more than anything else, because I know Liam Neeson can stand his own. I know Julianne Moore can stand his own, and I thought Amanda Seyfried just fell flat in her face. I was disappointed. I never got into it. I tried. And I'm off Adam McGoyan. I think he's got a different view of most directors. I find his pacing for me is always too slow. And I thought the end of this movie was just bizarre.
It is a very weird movie.
And I try. And when they're even at the Winchester Arms and she makes love to Julianne Moore, Windsor Arms, and they make love to Julianne Moore, I'm like, this is fucked up.
Yeah, Julianne Moore is trying to connect with her husband
and
sleeping with the prostitute.
Yeah, and it made no sense to me.
Who she believes has been sleeping with her husband.
Right, and I'm like, well... And she never confronts her husband, really, about it. You know what I mean? And then
no, she does. Oh, she does, for sure.
Near the end.
Yeah,
that's
the big
fight.
She says she's going to try to... she tries to coordinate a meeting for the three of them. And while they're at the Cafe Diplomatico, Chloe walks in. And he's like, who's that girl? I've never seen her before.
That's it. You're right, sorry.
And she's like, oh, but this is the girl you've been screwing. I've never seen her before in my life. And it's at that point we've learned that based on Chloe's initial speech where she talks about giving her customers what they want, she saw that Julianne Moore wanted to hear that her husband was unfaithful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she set it all up to make her believe that. It's that point that the movie goes wrong.
Is that okay? Maybe that's my issue?
To me, that's when the movie goes wrong. Because it then becomes Psycho Stalker movie. It's basically, yeah, all right, she gave Julianne Moore what she needed to connect with her husband, to understand his nature and stuff like that. She made him believe that she was being that he was being unfaithful to her, and connected through the prostitute, right? So she, anyway. But the whole thing with now that Chloe then has subsequently fallen in love in some way, and that Julianne Moore is somehow a replacement for her mother or something, but they have a sexual relationship, and then Chloe decides to seduce the son, and then there's just a lot of weirdness going on, and then the final sequence when,
as you talk about, I'm like, oh yeah, she cruises. I got to the point I just didn't want this to be over.
Right. Well, then there's the fight sequence, right, where Chloe falls out a window and dies.
Yeah.
But she kind of kills herself.
Yeah.
Not so much as...
Because she got found out?
Yeah.
She couldn't have Julianne Moore?
Because she couldn't have her. I don't know. And then at the end, Julianne Moore wears the comb thing that she gave her.
Yeah. And I just like...
Like,
okay.
She kind of loved her or something like that. Or maybe there was something going on there.
Yeah. And we get to see full frontal Julianne Moore.
Yeah, yeah, that was a surprise.
I was like, oh, okay.
That was a surprise. And Amanda Seyfried, wow, she's not a bad-looking girl.
I don't think she's a bad-looking girl, but I don't think she can hold a movie.
No, the movie itself was just boring.
I mean, she went from this, she did Jennifer's Body, and I'm kind of like, eh.
Jennifer's Body was terrible.
But I'm kind of over Amanda Seyfried. Like,
yeah.
She was supposed to be the next It girl, and I'm kind of like,
she never caught on.
I hate to disagree with both of you on this, but I enjoyed it. I thought, like, there was something you said about it was some kind of thriller, which is, anyway.
Became a Psycho Stalker.
That's it, Psycho Stalker. I like that part of this film. I thought it was well done. The scenes, like, around, you actually saw Toronto for what it was, not hiding, as another city altogether, but... I liked it. I'm going to give it a thumbs up, but I know you two are going to just look at me and go, what?
Yep, you're on your own on this
one. Okay, I'm on my own.
Bob, you got a thing for Amanda Seyfried. Let's be honest. That's the only reason why you like this movie.
That's not the only reason. I like Julianne Moore, and I like Liam Neeson, too, but the three of them worked. I thought the three of them worked well together, especially Liam and Julianne. And Julianne and Amanda. But I'm going to have to disagree with you on the thing for Amanda. I've got a thing for all three of them because I think they work really well together.
Hmm.
That's what she said. I don't know what I'm supposed to say to that. Okay, you got a thing for Liam Neeson. You go.
Liam was good in this movie. I mean, he was really
like
good.
Liam, no problem.
Julianne Moore, not so much. Just because I think the nature of the material was.
Actually, it was while they were filming this movie that his wife died in Quebec.
Really?
Yeah. So he came back and filmed the rest of the movie while after she died. So that you got to give him credit for that.
I give him credit for filming the movie. He's not really an integral part of the movie.
Well,
it's a Julianne Moore project.
He becomes, you know what, he's very absent from the last half of the movie.
Oh, yeah, just sort of disappears.
He sort of pops in and says, but I don't know this girl. Yeah. And then we go from there.
Why didn't you come home for your birthday?
All right. So I don't know if there's much more we can talk about in this
done.
Movie.
Move Let's along.
See. But then I don't think there's much we can say about the next movie either.
Oh, I have lots to say about the next movie.
Seth MacFarlane's Cavalcade of Comedy, a direct-to-video animated thing.
Can I just say something about this so I don't have to talk about it ever again?
Mm-hmm.
This is boring.
It was dumb.
I didn't care. I'm like, okay, that was kind of funny. Oh, wow, again.
It was all kind of funny.
Yeah, it was never ha-ha funny.
No.
It started out as ha-ha funny, but then it started getting slowly boring as well. So I gave up on it about three quarters of the way.
Did you finish this, Kevin? I couldn't make it through it.
I watched it, though.
Wow, you're the only one. I gave up
on it. I couldn't remember any of it.
20
except
minutes.
The horse in the bar.
I made it, yeah. Remember the horse? I saw about 20 minutes, maybe half an hour. Went. I don't
it wasn't
care.
That long. It was only like 40 minutes.
Then I made it through 20, 25. Wow. Oh, really? So it was on that long? I got to watch more?
I'm not a Family Guy fan.
See, I love Family Guy.
I
find it very funny.
I don't find the sense of humor.
I just thought
this
was dumb. I think Family Guy is great. I win every season. But I just thought this was dull. Okay.
I think this is just if you get a chance to, unless it's free, I would pass up on it.
Free? I don't know. I think that's a waste of time. Watch Chloe.
All right. So we got a trio of movies that the intern has not seen.
Oh, no. I've seen them.
Oh, you've seen them? Well, you haven't seen Kick-Ass.
Oh, yes, I have.
It's on in the background
Invictus,
here.
I haven't seen, no. But
all right. Let's.
Lying, I did.
Don't jump ahead. Let's talk about Kick-Ass, directed by Matthew Vaughn.
Love him.
Starring... Man, you don't even have the guy that played Kick-Ass. Oh, there he is, Aaron Johnson as Kick-Ass. Christopher Mintz-Plasse as... No.
No, that's McLovin.
Yeah, McLovin is Mintz-Plasse.
Yeah, that's what he says he is. He says I'm Kick-Ass.
No, that is Kick-Ass, Aaron Johnston. The other guy, McLovin from Superbad. Do you remember Superbad, that movie with
no,
the guy McLovin?
No, that's
no.
Aaron Johnson.
Oh, my God. Anyway. All right, anyway. I don't even go through all his freaking names. Mark Strong is in it. He's good. Nicolas Cage in it. He's not bad, too.
Hit Girl.
The Hit Girl's good, too. That's Chloe Moretz.
That's right.
Yancey Butler's on it.
Yeah, okay. So, Cap, what did you think?
Kick-Ass. Based on the Mark Miller and John Romita Jr., comic published by Marvel's Icon imprint.
Never read it.
This movie was developed in tandem with the publication of the later issues of the series. So I think issue one had hit the stand when they started making this movie. And so the ending was derived, in a sense, from what they chose to do in the movie. The ending of the comic series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the eight-issue series. So, basically, some kids, high school kids, are sitting around going, why do people emulate Paris Hilton and not Spider-Man or Batman? Why doesn't anybody decide to put on a costume and be a superhero, in a sense? So it's an interesting idea because you go, you know, really, we have everybody out there who reads superhero comics and is well aware of these characters and so forth. But nobody ever really decides to put on a costume and go out and fight crime. And, well, yeah, because it's dangerous. But he decides, the kid, Dave Lewitsky or whatever, decides that he is going to put on a costume and go out there and show people what's right. And he goes and he gets his ass kicked. And the first thing, and he gets stabbed and punched and so forth. But the process of doing it numbs some of his nerve endings and so forth to the point where he can take a beating and still get by. So that's like his superpower. So he goes and he meets other superheroes. He inspires other superheroes. But it turns out that there are people in the background who are doing similar things like Big Daddy and Hit Girl.
Doing it well, too.
And doing it well, yes. So there's other subplots in the movie because, you know, we're watching a scene where there's a girl that he likes and she thinks he's gay. And eventually he reveals to her that he is Kick-Ass, and
okay.
In the comic, it derives from what is happening here on the screen, where they're making it.
Okay.
The exact opposite.
Okay, can we get on with the movie?
All right, the movie. I loved it. I thought it was great.
I thought it was fun. Just really, really fun.
I liked a lot of aspects of it. It was, it was just a fun movie.
Yeah,
everybody was really good in it. I mean, Nicolas Cage doing his faux Adam West impression as
yes.
Daddy.
I thought it was a Hit Girl still.
I thought that was inspired.
I want a Hit Girl movie.
Hit Girl was great. This kid, Chloe Moretz, is perfect.
Yeah.
She just buys into this whole I'm into violence or whatever else. She's trained by her father to be the ultimate crime fighter at 11 years old. And I think she's 13 by the end of the show.
She's 13 by the end. I thought she was great. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was light fun. I thought it told the story.
Mark Strong is the mob boss.
Yes.
Villain, and he's good.
Hey, what about the black guy in a bazooka?
That's good stuff, too.
Yeah, I had to wait for that bazooka.
It's a bazooka.
And I have a little tidbit for you.
What?
Who wrote? Mark Miller wrote this, right?
Yeah.
And you know the scene near the end of the movie when he comes up in the rocket pack?
Yeah.
Matthew Vaughn said, we're doing that. Mark Miller said, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I loved it. And he goes, good, because I was keeping it anyway.
Yeah.
Because he told Mark Miller, that steals the movie, that hit the team, and he comes off for the
theater. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just think this is a fun movie. There's nothing wrong with it. It is great fun.
I like it. I mean, intern, you've seen a few scenes as we've been talking here. What do you like what you've seen? Do you want to see more?
I definitely watch this movie.
I mean, I'm watching this girlfriend here. What's her name?
Lindsay Fonseca.
Lindsay Fonseca. I'd watch more of her. Wow. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean that, Debbie.
I'd rather see Emma Stone.
I'm just kidding. Am I kidding? I don't know what I'm saying.
I'd rather see Emma Stone.
Emma Stone, who's that?
Superbad chick. Jules in Superbad.
No. This girl's
really?
Better than Jules, yeah.
Okay.
Jules has got a unique look, but what are we talking about? These are kids.
Uh-huh.
I'm an old man.
I don't care. I can still enjoy.
Even want to have a conversation with them.
I didn't say I wanted to talk to them.
Oh, my God. Simon, you're married.
Okay. Oh, I have
Red
a question.
Mist. What?
Simon, Nicolas Cage in this movie.
He's in it. Best and your question is? It's probably the best thing he's done in a while.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was my question.
I thought so.
All right. Ass kick. Good movie.
Thumbs up. I love Matthew Vaughn as the director. I hope he keeps making movies. I think X-Men Origins will be good. There's not really much to say about this. I mean, you got Hit Girl and Big Daddy. It tells the story of a boy that, like you said, wanted to be a superhero, and it's just fun.
And becomes one.
Gets his ass kicked.
Yep.
I remember reading about this comic when it first came out going, this is bizarre.
Well, I remember everybody went crazy for it, and I read the first issue. I'm like, he gets his ass kicked in the first movie, in the first issue. Why would I want to?
He gets kicked in the second issue, too.
Yeah. So, anyway, I
don't know. That was bizarre. But I love the movie.
It's good stuff.
Recommend.
All right. Going in a completely different direction.
Thumbs up here, too. I recommend it.
Well, you've seen.
Well, I'm seeing it now.
The Invention of Lying, directed and starring Ricky Gervais, with Jennifer Garner, Jason Bateman, Rob Lowe, Jonah Hill, our favorite, Louis C.K., another favorite, Jeffrey Tambor, Fionnuala Flanagan, and Tina Fey. All right. The Invention of Lying premise is that nobody lies on this planet. And life has developed along a boring, honest plateau. And Bob is ready. Speak.
This movie is slow. It starts off slow, it ends slow, but parts of it are good. I just didn't know what to make of it. I get the idea of what it's supposed to. The idea is a good idea, but the characters, like, they just didn't. do anything for me.
This movie sucked. What the hell are you smoking? This movie was slow. Oh, my God. Listening to a tap drip in the bathroom continuously is annoying.
All right.
This movie was crap.
Can I ask you?
Ricky Gervais is not funny. Jonah Hill's fat as a whale. And I have to watch him act. Rob Lowe bores the crap out of me. Jennifer Garner. Oh, my God. And Ricky Gervais are not funny unless you're in front of some people with a drink.
Can I ask you guys a question?
No.
Is Ricky Gervais ever been funny?
No. Never.
Did you ever watch The English Office? I'm funny.
I watched extras. I was like, oh, you guys, the extras so good. I sit and going, you're not serious. This is supposed to be funny? This is crap.
No.
His Ghost Town movie is crap.
Oh, yeah.
This is
awful.
Crap. I never want to see his English bad teeth, stupid jokes, boring movies, and the ever-expanding Jonah Hill again.
Wow.
I forgot he was in the Night at the Museum, too.
With Ben Stiller, I might add. Another guy I never need to see again.
So, yeah, I notice you haven't got Greenfield on the...
I've seen Greenberg, and it's Greenberg, in your pile. Yeah. So feel free
right.
to watch it.
Awesome. I don't know. I really... This was not funny. There were some interesting
ideas. It was supposed ideas. To be funny?
Were some interesting ideas in this movie, but...
Well, I agree with you on that.
None of them were... done in an interesting or entertaining way. It was just not good.
Oh, hi, Brian. I'm not feeling well today. Oh, I'm starting to hear that maybe tomorrow will be better. No. No, Mom. I don't think I'm going to date him. He doesn't make enough money. Wow. Can everybody speak in bland, boring language?
Yeah.
This is fabulous, riveting movies. I can't wait.
Although I like when he learned to lie, that he just uses it to get sex and money and all sorts of
but
other things.
I hate Jennifer Gardner. I know I'm going to get ridiculed, pounded, like the Cloverfield conversation, because that sucked out.
Cloverfield. Awesome
the abuse
movie.
I took for not liking Cloverfield.
Ah, Cloverfield.
No, for many people on boards.
Cloverfield.
Haters.
Awesome.
However, if you're going to diss
I
Jennifer
love
Gardner, I like her. You're going to kill it. You're going to make fun of me for this one. 13 going on 30.
You want to discuss
this. We make fun of you for many reasons.
Yeah, okay. The only thing good about 13 and 30, it was ending. And it had that chick, I can't remember, the blonde. She's in an occasional movie here and there. She's in 29 Dresses, and I can't remember her name.
Not Hagel.
No, not Hagel. She's a blonde. You'll know where to see her. She pops up in movies all the time, and I can't remember her name. But, I mean, Mark Ruffalo's in it. We don't really know who Mark Ruffalo. Why is 1330? I mean, it's popcorn movie for chicks, Bob.
Those are the movies he watches.
You have nothing to say to that. You're just going to sit there going, I'll say something.
I want
bigger.
Some popcorn movie for chicks.
It's not. Okay, I don't just enjoy the popcorn movies for chicks. He's been in other
things.
That's
all you watch, though.
No, it's not. Oh, this looks good. Anyway,
easily distracted.
Well, what I'm saying about 13 going on 30. I mean, she. No, you got on about Jennifer Garner. No, I'm not done with 13 going on 30.
I didn't see that movie. I have no.
It
comment.
Just doesn't matter. It's just dumb.
I don't see
another dumb movie. It's got Andy Serkis from Lord of the Rings as normal.
In what?
13 going on 30.
Really?
Yeah, as her boss.
Wow.
You can see what he normally looks like. This movie's crap. Skip Adventures of Lying. Skip Chloe. Skip Jennifer's body.
Don't skip Inception.
Don't skip
Kick-Ass.
Chloe good. Kick-Ass good.
Hulk mad. And, all right, so let's move on to the
Hulk
next movie
take
then.
Dump in toilet. Yeah. Movie theater.
Hulk take crap. Lots of corn.
Invention of lying.
all right. On a more serious note, the next film is Invictus, directed by Clint Eastwood, starring Morgan Freeman, Matt Damon, Marguerite Wheatley, and others.
But Kevin?
So this is the story of Nelson Mandela becoming president of South Africa. And one of the things he does is he supports the national rugby team, which is all white and hated by the black South Africans.
Yeah, you're right.
So he uses his support for the team to build national spirit.
He does.
Behind the rugby team.
I don't. I tried to like this. I really did try to like this. I like Clint Eastwood's pacing. Mm-hmm. I thought Matt Damon really impressed me as an actor every time I see him now. I really like. And then now I always go, who's that? Oh, yeah, that Ben Affleck guy.
Mm-hmm.
He made bad choices. But Matt Damon makes good choices for movies.
Mm-hmm.
I usually never see him in crap. Very rarely.
Right.
And I thought Morgan Freeman did an excellent job. It's just, I didn't think there was enough to this movie to make a movie out of it.
Really?
I mean, it was very deep at times. I agree. I just got bored by the end. I was kind of like, okay, I'm liking this, but it didn't break through, I guess is what I'm trying to say. There was no big moment of what, that is fantastic.
No, you're right. There was never that moment, really. And the film was kind of dry. I mean, one of my big problems was that Morgan Freeman, who is one of the greatest living actors, American actors.
I agree.
He's playing one of the most important political figures of the 20th century.
With no emotion, really.
But it's Morgan Freeman. The problem is you cannot... We know Morgan Freeman. We know Nelson Mandela. There's a slight resemblance, but I never quite got away from the fact that this was Morgan Freeman playing Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, all right.
Morgan Freeman was more important, in my mind, than Nelson Mandela. There are other actors who've been able to transform themselves to take the role. And don't get me wrong, he does a fine job.
Yeah.
As Nelson Mandela. But he never gets away from being Morgan Freeman.
You're right. I totally agree with that.
And to me, that hurt the movie more than anything else. Like, Matt Damon does a great job at giving the impression that he's an Afrikaans, white rugby player.
He does a great accent.
And he transforms his body, too. I mean, he becomes a big, burly rugby player.
I was very impressed with
the way
he looks.
Put on some weight and muscle. But yet, the whole time, I'm like, it's Matt Damon. It's not the rugby player captain.
Yeah, I know.
It's Matt Damon.
Yeah, I got it.
So that was my major problem with this movie, was that I couldn't get away from the actors who were playing the characters in the film. That it wasn't a movie. It was about the actors more than anything else.
Yep.
And that, to me, hurt the film more than anything else. And it's a fine film with a great message and a great historical context. And
I agree with everything.
I totally
agree. I think it's okay. I don't think it's great. I know people love the film, but I found it really slow for me.
It was slow.
I tried to like it more than I did.
Uh-huh. And it had a Charlie Wilson's War kind of ending to me, in that it didn't seem complete.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So,
oh, well. Something that did have a beginning, middle, and end. Extract, directed by Mike Judd. Bateman, Kunis, J.K. Simmons, Gene Simmons, Ben Affleck, Christian Wiig, David Kosher, and Clifton Collins Jr.
So this is the long-awaited follow-up to Office Space.
Yeah.
And
you want to go?
It's extract of what?
Extract. That's his story.
It's like almond extract or something.
Yeah, he makes extracts from almonds or something. He makes all these different extracts.
And bottles them and sells them to stores. And they put them in you. So you put
a manufacturing company. And the guy that runs it, this is his life.
Right. And his wife won't have sex with him.
Right.
And there's a hot young girl that's hired.
Mia Kunis.
And he thinks that there's something going on there.
Well, he's a thief. Actually, Connors, he's a thief. Straight up thief.
So, all right, Bob, you were the last one to watch this, because I barely remember it.
I was the last one to watch this, and I wish I hadn't now, because this movie was boring.
So you could have watched Kick-Ass instead.
Yes, I could.
Or Invictus, and you might have enjoyed it much more.
But I was looking on a previous list, so I watched this. I thought it had a good chance of being a good movie, but no. I watched it, but then I thought, why? It's just, like, his character, Jason Bateman's character, owns the company. But then I thought, by the end of it, I thought, so what? I don't recommend this movie.
That's it. You got nothing else to say.
Random, incoherent rambling.
I have no clue what you even said, and I'm sitting right beside you.
That's all right.
I got a question for you. I thought Christian Wiig was hysterical in this movie.
Christian Wiig was which character?
his wife.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I thought she was really good. And David Koester coming over going, oh, hey, you're home. Can I talk?
Oh, right.
And that neighbor that just
The male prostitute that he hires.
The male prostitute was hysterical.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only had sex with her 15 times. 15 times?
Yeah.
I told you I have sex with her once. Oh, well, she kept inviting me back.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he's the new pool boy.
Oh, yeah.
And the pool never gets clean.
No.
But David Koester's character coming over and bugging them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple of tickets. No. And every time he comes home, he comes over.
Yeah.
And you just can't get rid of him.
Yeah. I want to ask you a question about the dinner that goes with the tickets.
The tickets?
We're not going to it. Yeah, but I got you the tickets already. You can pay me.
Yeah.
All right.
So. You're right. Yeah. But I thought this movie, I liked parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And parts of it I thought were really slow.
Yeah,
I thought
there
ben
were some
Affleck
funny moments too.
Ben Affleck was good.
Yeah, he was okay.
Pushing the drugs on him, and he gets all screwed up because he gave the wrong drugs.
Oh yeah,
and he doesn't know where he is. It's just Jason Bateman. I'm just kind of like, he's dull.
You know what? I'm not a big Jason Bateman.
I don't think anybody can, even though I've never seen Teen Wolf 2. Oh, come on, Hogan's Family didn't do it for you.
Hogan's Family. I don't even know what that is.
That's his big sitcom from the 80s.
Hogan's Family?
You're missing one before Hogan's Family. What was that? He was really young in that. The guy that plays the neighbor on Married with Children was in it.
Right, so we'll get back to you on that one.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
I just thought this movie could...
I don't know.
We're still trying to figure that out. Can we get back to you?
I didn't like it that much. It was okay. It was adequate.
That's what I mean. I thought the Christian Wiig character was okay.
Yeah.
I thought the David Koester character, it just never got better than what it was.
Yeah.
But I like Mia Kudis driving off with Gene Simmons' car at the end.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
And then Jason Bateman figures out she's stealing the stuff, and that's really about it. He doesn't sell the company in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it just never gets above okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it even tries to get above okay, though.
No.
Do you find that?
No.
Like, he seems to have a set path at beginning, middle, and end. I mean, tell the movie.
He's thinking it's another cult classic.
Exactly, but it's not Office Space. He's missing that character with the red stapler.
Yeah.
Where is my stapler?
All right. What do we say about it? I'm giving it a marginal thumbs down.
I'm giving it a marginal thumbs down. I'm back, yeah. Yeah, I'll give it a marginal thumbs down.
All right.
Total thumbs down.
All right. It's time to open the vaults. Squeak!
Wow, that's exciting. For the movie we're opening, that's what we get. Should we have some bullets in there?
Look at this. What's the first movie on the shelf here? It's Bullet. Directed by Peter Yates, starring Steve McQueen, Robert Vaughn, Jacqueline Bisset, Norman Fell, Mr. Roper, Robert Duvall, George Stanford Brown, Vic Tabak. Nice.
Great cast. Takes place in my favorite city of all times I've been to.
San Francisco.
Love this movie.
San Francisco.
I don't know if this is a great movie, but it has one great car chase.
It is a great, fun movie. And
oh
what a
God.
Great car chase.
Oh, my God. Man. That car chase is phenomenal. Only car chase I like better is French Connection.
Yeah. This is a, kind of a cool... This was Steve McQueen when he was cool.
Yeah, I saw this a long time ago. So I remember...
I just watched it recently again on Blu-ray, and wow, great movie.
Did you see this one, Bob?
Good cop drama.
You'll have to tell. I remember he's investigating a murder or something, or something minor. And the hotel was still there. You know that hotel he takes off at when the guys start following him?
Yeah.
It's still there.
Oh, a lot of those buildings
Because I
there,
couldn't
so.
Believe it. I'm like, because I was sitting there, I'm like, I've been there. I've been there. And seeing the trolley cars and...
So Robert Vaughn is like the
ultimate
stuck
villain.
Up guy who's kind of... He's a cop as well who's trying to prevent him from doing his job.
Of course. I love Robert Vaughn.
But, it's police procedural when they still kind of tried to follow police procedures.
Yes. In movies.
Yes. Yes.
Not anymore.
I really liked it. I would recommend it, especially for the car chase.
The car chase, you guys see this movie alone for the car chase. I wish I could discuss more of it. I saw it so long ago, but I remember loving it.
Okay.
I think he made one better movie than this for sure.
Which one?
I think Getaway is a better movie.
Never seen The Getaway, actually.
Really? I'll give it to you. I have The Getaway. I think Steve McQueen made a better movie. And
Great
I like
Escape.
Tower Inferno. I love The Great Escape, but I don't know if it's as good as... It's on par with Bullet, I would say. I really enjoyed The Great Escape. The Great Escape pulls your tug. Like, again, another movie that tugs you here and there all the time.
Lots of characters, yeah.
But you love all the characters. I mean, they all have quirks and things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird, because I was watching an episode of Supernatural. I mean, it's going to tie into The Great Escape. But he gets thrown into a solitary confinement. He goes, I wish I had a baseball. The guy looks at me and goes, you know, like Steve McQueen, The Great Escape. And I laughed because I'd seen The Great Escape. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird. I find everybody loves Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
Nobody. I haven't met anybody that doesn't like Steve McQueen.
Yeah,
great movie. Save it for the car chase.
Good stuff. All right, next movie. War of the Worlds, directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Tom Cruise and Dakota Fanning.
And I like Miranda Otto.
Yeah.
She's in Danny Armchair, which I really like. An Australian movie I'm sure you've never heard of or seen. It's an excellent movie.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, did you see this one? Okay. War of the Worlds. I remember coming out, all the hype about this movie, and it was supposed to be the big movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me. I thought it way too long.
Mm-hmm.
I just found it way, way too long.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't care after a while.
Mm.
I thought special effects were beautiful. I thought it was well shot, Steven Spielberg. Mm. I just thought it took forever to get through to the end of this movie.
Mm.
I just got disinterested in the story a lot.
Mm.
You know, when he's driving, trying to get to his son. I think he's with Dakota Fanning. Mm-hmm. His kids? Does he have his kids with him? No. Dakota Fanning.
He's with his kids. They're staying
trying to get
with
to their mother.
Yes, they're trying to get to Boston.
I remember that. They get to Boston at the end. I just found I didn't care. I really just didn't care if they made it or not after a while.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a Tom Cruise fault. It wasn't Dakota Fanning fault. It was just too long for me.
Mm.
I don't think it needed to be. And I thought the Tim Robbins scene in the house were useless.
Wow. I don't even know where to begin. I like this movie a lot, actually. I like Spielberg's direction. I like Tom Cruise's acting in it. Dakota Fanning is great. The brother, the son, who's also plays Tom Cruise's son in the film, he's okay. He's Tom Cruise's son. I think it's also because Tom Cruise is good. I think ultimately it's the material. It's the story. And he's trying to update Welles' original story.
Well, obviously.
And do it in a modern context. And I think it does work. I think the effects were fantastic.
I'm not saying it doesn't work.
The tripods were, there was a lot of thought put into it. And the fact that the tripods were already here and that they beamed down on electrical current.
I thought the premise was cool. I just thought it was too long for what it was.
And the fact that the world was changing, that, the red weed choking the city and so forth was interesting. But we all know the gag that ends the movie, which is that they're not prepared to handle germs.
Yeah.
And microbes.
It takes them out.
Yeah.
I like when they start harvesting the humans and when they shoot inside the aliens.
Yeah.
That was a really nice technique.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was a very well-made, well-done production. And I can't fault it. I didn't find that it was too long, but I know where you're coming from.
Yeah, I'm not faulting the movie. I'm not faulting anything. It was just too long for me. I got bored.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the Tim Robbins scene. I just didn't. Why is he here?
Yeah, well, like, that's true.
They're in his house. And
I didn't. They had to show humanity at its worst, I guess. And it wasn't a stretch for that guy to go down certain pathways as well.
I agree, but I don't think it was
my problem, of course, is that the Wells story is an interesting one, and it shows us what people are like when confronted to our base. Society is a flimsy construction that can be torn away and destroyed pretty easily, and I think that kind of. It's kind of evident in this Spielberg film. I think he tries to show that we resort to selfishness and barbarism pretty quickly. So, I don't know.
I just didn't do it for me. I put thumbs in the middle.
I thought the best adaptation is really Alan Moore's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Volume 2.
Awesome. That was really good.
Yeah.
I'll totally give that full. I like that a lot.
With Mr. Hyde. taking on the tripods at the end.
Well, speaking of going back to my childhood, put Caddyshack on the list.
A classic. I put it on the list because I saw it on Blu-ray recently.
Picked it up for $5?
No, it was like, I paid full price for it, well, $20 or whatever. Directed by Harold Ramis, starring Bill Murray, Ted Knight, Chevy Chase, Rodney Dangerfield, Michael O'Keefe. It's I love Caddyshack. I mean, intern, have you not seen Caddyshack?
I saw it when it originally came out. I remember enough of it. I didn't have to watch it again. I liked it at the time, but as time goes on, you look back, you think back to it, and you go, why? But I'm thinking back to, like, I actually changed my mind halfway through that conversation because I actually enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Because, like, they're at a country club.
It's golf. A country club. It's in California.
Right.
Ted Knight is the wealthy judge.
And he's playing Ted Knight.
Basically playing
the same thing. Yeah. And then the Rodney Dangerfield character was like...
He's like the new money.
Dangerfield as Rodney Dangerfield.
He's basically the new money that comes to the club, and he wants to make changes and just have fun.
Yes.
You know, smoke up and get laid.
But basically, I remember most of it and liking it at the time, so I'm going to have to say I still like it. It held up.
Well, to me, it's two movies. It's the golf story movie with Rodney Dangerfield in the background and Ted Knight in the background, the kid trying to get the scholarship with a possibly pregnant Irish girl, and Chevy Chase as his mentor.
Okay.
And you know what the other story is? It's Bill Murray, who comes in and completely takes over this movie.
Yep.
And it becomes all about the guardsman. The groundsman, I should say, and you know, the scene with him and the priest on the golf course in the rain.
Yes.
And you know, the priest golfs the best game ever, and then he misses on the last hole, and the lightning bolt hits his
club.
Yeah, and then
Bill Murray wanders off.
And Bill Murray chasing the gopher. Gonna get that gopher. Gonna take care of that gopher.
Classic. Is this movie, like, Ted Knight at its best and Roger Dangerfield at his best?
I think so.
And Bill Murray and Chevy, they're all in their prime.
Yeah.
This cast was phenomenal. And the only thing that bugged me was that whole pregnancy storyline.
Yeah.
Why is that in there?
It's a bit of a downer.
I'm like, okay. Oh, I'm not really pregnant. Who cares?
I don't know. I think it was to give a sense of responsibility and that sometimes, you know, you can screw up.
I guess so, and she's also in Animal House too. The same joke.
Yeah, but she's not Irish.
No,
but while she's pregnant, he's off trying to have sex with the heiress.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I thought was kind of weird.
'70s.
And Bill Murray's brother's in it. Brian Bill Murray.
That's right.
And I just think this movie is Roger Dangerfield. They just go, okay, go ahead. I don't think they wrote a script for this movie.
No.
And they just let Roger Dangerfield go. Okay, Rod, this is what we're going to do. You go ahead. And he was fed. Hey, buddy, how's it going? Throwing money everywhere, giving everybody $20.
Yeah.
Tell the chef the food is shit.
Yeah.
I'm just rolling.
There's the Twinkie or the Mars bar.
Yes.
In the swimming pool sequence.
Bill Murray goes, and eats it, and the woman passes out.
But it's like, it's floating in the water. Everybody's freaking out, panicking like Jaws.
Yeah, I love the end of this movie when he goes, I knew you were going to pay it up. Rocco! No! Where's Dead Knight starts running away? The guys are chasing him. I've seen this movie at least 20 times.
Yeah,
and I cracked
it's
up.
It's still a classic.
And he blows up the gophers, and he's trying to get the gopher. It works on every.
Here's some of your friends, the lovely little squirrel and the rabbit.
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Nobody's worried about me. Kenny Loggins, when you actually had a career.
Yeah. All right, so two thumbs up, enthusiastic thumbs up for Caddyshack.
You know, Kenny Loggins wrote I'm All Right, and he wrote Footloose?
Yes, and Fly Into the Danger Zone.
It's him, too?
From Top Cow, yes.
So he's rocking. He made a fortune.
Kenny Loggins, yeah, he was a big deal.
And all he had to do was write Karate Kid, and he'd probably be in, like, you're the best. All right,
our next film is a movie.
Hold on. I want to back this up for one second. Why did you think of the scene when Chevy Chase is interacting with Bill Murray in his place?
I thought it was fun, but kind of awkward.
That's what I mean. That was another awkward scene. Sorry.
In the documentary that went along with it, they actually explained that they were the big dogs from Saturday Night Live, right?
Yes.
But they hated each other.
I know.
And they never actually worked together.
I know.
So they decided, we got to put these guys on screen together. So they put them in the scene together. And their sense of humor, there just was... They were both doing their thing, and they're both very good at it in the scene.
But it didn't
But
work.
It's not like... It's sort of like Chevy Chase is like, yeah, okay, I'm not dealing with your level of crazy.
Yeah.
And Chevy's just going, I'm going to be crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to have fun with
Murray.
This.
So did they hate each other in Caddyshack?
Apparently they hated each other, yeah.
They still do.
Well, I have no idea if they still hate
but
each
other.
But I
miss Matt. It was kind of awkward, that scene. I was kind of like, you got to put the ball where it lands. Like,
yeah.
Okay. It's just bizarre. I don't
know. Exactly.
And speaking of bizarre movies, I know Kevin didn't watch.
No, I watched it.
Oh, you watched Lady of Burlesque?
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin's leaving. Hold on.
And Bob watched it, too.
Oh, yes, I watched it.
Lady of Burlesque, directed by William Wellman, starring Barbara Stanwyck and Michael O'Shea. Now, this was also called the something-something murders. I can't remember what it was called. It was like the Dance Hall Girl Murders or something like that. And what did I think of this? I don't know. Who was she playing? I can't remember what the name of her character was. It was a famous burlesque dancer.
I can't remember either, but I saw this a long time ago.
And there's a
it's
murder.
Not Fanny Bryce, is it?
No, I don't think so. Here we are. We all see this. I can't remember.
I thought I saw that on
there. Anyway, I'll admit that I was sort of watching it at the beginning, and then I just sort of like half snored on the couch for 2 hours while it played on. And occasionally I would go, oh, okay, so this is what's happening there.
Oh, looks like I did.
We all have the same experience.
Because I couldn't remember the ending or anything about it.
I started watching this movie at 9 o'clock on a Friday night. I was asleep by 9:35.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Somebody died. I'm like, okay. And whoever played the Countess, the old burlesque dancer that won the road, she was awful.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is brutal.
It was bizarre to see because the,
the old vaudeville,
yeah,
the old vaudeville
and
comedy,
burlesque, which
the
is not a
burlesque.
Subject matter that
you see often.
That type of movie in that era would address.
It was based on a book.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who wrote the book, but it was based on a book. I just think this movie is boring.
Yeah,
like there's nothing. Like Barbara Stanwyck's in it, I guess is why I watched it. I don't remember why. I must have read about it somewhere. Like how else I bought this movie. It was awful. Just awful, boring movie. Like, for the time period, too, I'm just like...
It might be an okay movie, but I was bored.
Oh, well, all three of us fell asleep, I think.
Well, I didn't actually fall asleep, but I wish I had of because I watched it. I still got lost around the middle, and then I thought, what?
So it wasn't just me, because I fell asleep and rewinded and watched it again, and I think I fell asleep again. I did finish, but I couldn't understand this movie at all.
Yeah.
It actually took me 3 tries to finish it because I watched it and then I sort of got, no. And then I watched it again and got, no. And then I watched it the 3rd time and I finally finished it and I thought, boring.
Movie sucks.
Yeah.
Moving on.
All right, last on the list, Darkman, directed by Sam Raimi, starring Liam Neeson, Francis McDormand, Larry Drake, Ted Raimi, Nelson Machita, Colin Frias, and an uncredited Bruce Campbell at the end.
You got it.
Darkman. Who's going to start?
I will.
All right.
Still love this movie.
Yeah.
I rewatched this movie, and I'm like, Sam Raimi's a mag. Mm-hmm. Still, I saw this in theaters years ago. I watched it, I couldn't even tell you, 6:30 in the morning in Montreal, because everybody else in the room was snoring. I put my headphones on, put it on my portable DVD player, and go, I love this movie. Obviously, it's kind of dated, some of the shots, you know what I mean, the special effects and things.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the story was very basic, but it worked well.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the whole concept. I liked him. I liked everything about it. I loved the end of his movie around the tower.
Mm-hmm.
And Liam Neeson's not comfortable trying on the tower and trying to take him out and this and that. I thought it worked well. I love some of the shots they did.
Yeah.
Shooting things and this and that. I thought this movie was phenomenal. Absolutely amazing.
Cool.
I loved it, too. I think I own it. I'm not sure, but great movie. Great premise. They work well together. And Larry Drake is like, he was
different. Oh, Larry Drake.
Larry Drake was so different from his L.A. Law character. This was good.
That was a unique thing, because I actually thought, having watched L.A. Law, I actually thought that he was like that.
Yeah.
And that he was this brilliant, eloquent crime boss in this movie. It was quite a turn. I like Darkman a lot. I was a big fan of the movie when it came out. I've watched it a few times subsequently.
So
and there are things about it that I think are weak, but still I think it's a pretty strong
it holds up.
Marvel Comics superhero movie.
What do you find weak about Darkman?
I find Belisarius, or whatever his name is, the guy that's the villain, revealed to be the ultimate villain, the building guy.
Very bland.
Yeah, I found him to be a weak villain to be the final, and he's doing this backstory about how he used to walk around in the
corridors
and stuff like that.
He, I think the movie
that I didn't like. And Frances McDormand was good, but Liam Neeson, of course, was great. Great action sequences. And
I love the filming. I'm shocked how he could film in temp vision. Because you see him in Quick and the Dead, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome camera angles, different things. Like every time I watch a Sam Raimi movie, he wakes me up.
Right.
I'm like, ooh, that's kind of
well,
cool.
To me,
ooh,
this
like
was
that.
A Marvel superheroes movie. Like it was like an ultimate Marvel superhero.
Yeah, I'm with
that.
No issue.
It was the origin and arrival of a Marvel superhero.
Yeah.
A monster who's also a hero.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Sort of similar to like Ghost Rider and Morbius and Werewolf by Night.
I'm with you. I loved it.
Yeah.
No complaints. I have no complaints.
I liked it. I highly recommend it if you like some Spider-Man and his other movies, Evil Dead 2 and so forth. So, Bob?
Actually, I agree with you. And I'd recommend this movie as well. I'm going to give it a thumbs up, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
The thumbs up by. You can find this cheap.
Yeah.
So, I have one last thing to say before we sign off.
Okay.
I was at the library today, which I know it's surprising. I think you go to the library because I find DVDs at the library. Mm. But I was poking through, you know, they have Friends of the Library section where they sell off stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I found movies, DVDs there. I just wanted to tell you guys. So, I'm
going
to tell everybody out there, make sure you check those library shelves.
And what did you get?
I got Billy Bathgate
mm-hmm.
and something Texas something. Something in Texas. I've never heard of it, but it had a decent cast. But Billy Bathgate was one. The other one was something in Texas, a Texan small town or something.
Okay.
I've never heard of it, but the cast looked good. I've never seen Billy Bathgate.
Well, so good to know. I only buy Blu-rays now, so I guess
but for
that
me, for
be
a dollar each, I'm
yeah.
not, I'll watch them.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Simon.
Bob the intern.
And I'm Jonah Hill.
Ever expanded.
Brother of Jonah Hex. Anyway, I'm Kevin. This is Extra Features 47, signing out.
And if they make it?
Simon makes us watch it, ties us down, and then makes us review it.
La 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 la. La 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 la